Those are the portions of greatest importance, says the Lord. For truly it is only as you enter into the presence of my Spirit, and as my Spirit brings you unto me myself, that the change you're looking for is accomplished. My Spirit will not just teach you about me. My Spirit will bring you to me, says the Lord. He will bring you into the Lamb's room of fellowship, where you and I may commune one-on-one. You will see my eyes gazing into yours. None remain the same once they've been in the Lamb's room of fellowship. Will you feel my touch? You hear my voice. You see my eyes gazing into yours. There the transformation is made in completeness. There is where man dies and the Spirit soars. There is where dreams and visions are birthed, says the Lord. Not to know of me, but to know me. Oh, spend time with my Spirit. For this purpose he has been sent. He is your teacher. He is your guide. But he is the revelator of my presence, says the Lord. Spend time with my Spirit. He will bring you into my very presence where we may fellowship at the Master's table. Spend time with my Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Oh, we will spend time with you. Engineer, he talks to me this way a lot. You know, merge. What he wants to make sure that during this service that I have, I'm going to let you go by four, by the way, in case I forget to mention it. We're not going to have the break since we're shortening the service. Now there is no condemnation to those who need bathroom breaks. So if you need to go, you know, just quietly go, come back. Hallelujah. How many of y'all, after hearing Dave, pretty sure you're born again? Say, I've been born again. I don't even belong to the dead species of Adam anymore. I was born dead. I've been born again. I'm born of Christ now. The Spirit that's in me, it's not from Adam. It's from Christ. It doesn't have death in it. It has life itself in it. He has life in himself. He's given for me to have life in myself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, is that the truth or not? Now, I've been teaching on hope. And you see, well, hallelujah. Thank God. But now, see, how do you merge those two? Why would the Lord do that? Why would the Lord have such a strong emphasis on born again and then this strong teaching on hope in the same week, see? You think he has a plan? He's going to merge these two right now. You ready? You ready? All right. Get ready. Now go to Hebrews 11:1. I know you know it by heart. Go there anyway. I do too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I also want you to find and just hold it for a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now see, before you came to this conference, if anybody would have asked you, or if I'd have asked you, you said, does Christ live in your heart? Well, you'd have said, well, yes, I'm born again. And that's the truth. It was the truth before you came, isn't that right? Is it a little more real to you now after sitting here? Okay. Now see, the thing of it is, it's been true all along. However long you've been born again, that's been the case. That very life, that spirit that you got when you got born again, that's from Jesus Christ himself. That's from God. So that life potential has been in you in every prayer failure you've had to this point. Me too. So now the question is, see, I'm...
you have your, there's a difference between scientists and engineers, you know. The way they explained this to me in engineering college was like this. That if you take a scientist and an engineer and you put them at one end of a long room and you put a fresh baked apple pie on a table at the opposite end of the room from them, and you tell them both, now, you're welcome to have all of that pie you want, but now here's the stipulation. You're at one end of this long room. The pie is at the other. You can only travel half the distance to that pie at a time. In other words, go halfway, then go half of the remaining half, and then go half of the what's left. Well, the scientist, he starts walking for the exit, and you go, well, why are you walking away? Well, theoretically, it's impossible because there is no distance, theoretically, that can't be divided. So I could never possibly actually arrive at the pie. Of course, the engineer, he steps right out, headed towards the pie, halfway at a time. And I said, well, the scientist already said it couldn't be done. He said, well, he's absolutely right. But I will get close enough for all practical purposes. Now, theoretically, there may always be an atom or two between me and that pie. It ain't going to make a bit of difference. I'm going to enjoy the pie. You understand me? All right. Now, see, my job as the engineer is to bring all of this. Okay, I never heard of that before. Okay, a word engineer. I never heard of a word engineer. But anyway, my job is to, if you don't leave here knowing how to do this, I mean, it's wonderful to hear it. How are you going to get that life more manifested? How are you going to get it in New York? When you get, it's wonderful here. When you get back to, you know what the atmosphere is like on that island? I've been there. That spiritual atmosphere that hovers over there. Now, your job is to carry light into darkness. You've been doing that the best you could.
Sure.
Now, my job here is when you go back this time, you carry in more light. There's more light showing than there was when you got here. And that's the same with all of you. Got that? So let's see how hope and the new birth go together here. Let's read Hebrews 11:1, just to make sure we understand this. We're gonna, you know, just get our mind going in the right direction here. So you can just say it with me. Now faith is? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Now see, and everything we've taught on this week, you've learned a little bit about hope, haven't you? Well, I have too. What we thought was hope is normally human hope. Well, I hope to have a better car someday. I hope someday my kids get off drugs. I hope my husband gets saved. I hope we have a better house. I hope God would use me in the ministry someday. I hope to have more anointing and walk in more power. See, none of that is what God calls hope. That's what humans call hope. It's vague. It's wishy-washy. If your emotions are good that day, yes, God's going to use you. If your emotions are down that day, no, He won't. Now there's no hope. Why? I don't know. I just feel bad. There's no hope. Well, we learned this week what God said is really hope. Now, let's get His definition again. I'm just a quick review to get our minds going. What God calls hope is when you finally, not that kind of thing, not that vague, maybe sort of if a kind of wish a would happen thing. But once you get into the Word of God, you build an image on the inside of you, and you finally come to, no matter what your problem is, no matter whether it's sickness, poverty, lack of anointing, I don't care what it is, but you finally arrive where you agree with God. What has been is not what shall be. You've crossed a line on the inside. And there's you've got a vision of how it's going to be. Now, maybe you've had a boy on drugs, I don't care how long. And you get into the Word of God, like Isaiah 49, verses 24 and 25. It says, can the strong... Well, let's just read it real quick. Somebody needs to hear this. I know you've heard it before, and I don't want to halfway quote it right. If I had a child on drugs or in jail or whatever the problem, this would be my verses right here. I've used it before. Mine weren't on drugs. But if you have kids, you have problems. They go through stages. All three of mine went crazy at once. Stand up, Amanda. There's one of them right there. Stand up. Let me see how pretty you are. That's my youngest baby, Amanda, right there. Serving God, all three of them. Serving God now. Now, the devil made a real play for all three of them. Well, and one of those, I didn't know this verse. I wish I'd have known this verse in the beginning. I didn't know it. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 24 and 25. We're talking about how to build hope. Here's one example. Now, when the Lord showed me this one, it wasn't Amanda, it was my older daughter, who was sort of in a semi-backslidden condition. It wasn't as horrible as it could have been, it was bad enough. But it was backslidden condition. And that's where the devil kept defeating me, because I knew she knew better. She'd been hurt real bad. That hurt caused her to backslide. Alright? And I'm trying to pray and make intercession for her, and the devil kept defeating me in my mind. He kept going, I said, I'm trying to build hope first, you know. And the devil kept defeating me in my mind. He says, she knows better than this. I have a right to her. She's opening the door. How many of y'all have ever had that battle in your mind? You didn't raise her like this. She knows the word better than that. She's doing this. The devil's going, I have a right to her. I legally have a right to her. And I didn't know what to do. Got to praying, meditating the word, asking God, and I don't even know how he did it, but somehow he brought me to these verses. Now, watch this. Watch this. If you're in that condition, watch this. Isaiah 49, starting in verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Now, wait a minute. What is a lawful captive? All right? A lawful captive is where you did it. They caught you, and they've taken you captive legally. And that's what the devil was telling me about my oldest daughter. I have a right to do this. I've taken her captive legally because she herself has opened the door. And he was right. Well, so this is the question I'm faced with, isn't it? Can they be delivered? Can a lawful captive be delivered? That's what I was needing to know. Thank God for verse 25. Let's find out what God says about this. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. That tells me I don't care how big these devils are. And the prey of the terrible, same thing, like Genghis Khan. I don't care if it's a Genghis Khan devil. You know, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Why? For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Amen. You got to shout. Hallelujah! Glory to God! I saw that verse. I had me a running fit around my ugly building. I said, devil, you're in trouble. I have something to build an image of hope. My daughter, it doesn't matter if she's a lawful captive. She's my daughter. I'm a son. She's my daughter. I have something to build my hope on. I'm telling you, she may be backslid right now. She is not going to stay that way. What has been is not what shall be. I call my daughter saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, serving God, praying in other tongues, mountain moving, mountain shaking girl of faith. Whatever I could think of, I was saying it. Man, I found my ammunition. I had something to build my hope with, and I saw her, and the devil, every night, he'd go, you know where she is. You know what? She probably, drinking, whatever. I'm going to kill her in a car wreck. No, you ain't. Now, I'm going to kill her in a car wreck. No, you ain't either. And I get this out. You better got to remind the devil. He's hard of hearing. He forgets. You got to remind him, see? You say, No. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't care if you yourself. I don't care how big a devil you send after her. This says, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. The Lord himself is contending with you. He himself will save my child. And I want you to know it. Did you have to stand for a while? For a while. All three of my girls. Glory to God, the devil doesn't have a one of them. I mean, all of them are serving God, you know, raising godly families, tongue, talking. It's I'm telling you. You got to get an image, though. You can't do it without the Word. You've got to have something solid, a foundation to build your hope and your faith on. And you say, well, I don't know what it is. Pray in other tongues till you do. Meditate the Word. There's too many good books out there on prayer. You know, prayers that avail much and all of those different... I mean, those are good books. Yeah. You find one that covers your case. God left no case uncovered. Your case is in here somewhere. Yeah. There's an answer in here. Yeah. Good Lord. How many of y'all believe in for kids? That's why. No, I know. Thank you, Lord. Here's your good start. You want to read that one more time?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? It's just good to wash over your soul, isn't it? Listen to this. Have some hope for a change. Hey, when you love your kids and your kids are in trouble, I know. That hurts. That's one the devil can really use to destroy your hope. You know, boy, here it is. Get strong. Get an image on the inside of what's happening. Can you imagine those devils trembling in fear when Jehovah himself comes looking for your child? Oh, they better tremble in fear. He cometh. Glory to God. Let's read it again. Isaiah 49, verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. And the prey of the terrible shall, not maybe so, shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Glory to God! Oh, let that build an image on the inside. See Jehovah God Almighty going after your child and devils running in all directions screaming for help. Those devils haven't got a chance. You see that child of yours, I don't care how bad it's been, you see that child lifting his or her hands, praying in other tongues, singing the praise to Almighty God, whatever you think, if you think they're called to a pulpit ministry, see them preaching the Word and casting out devils.
Yeah, right.
You must not be talking about my boy. He's a dope smoker and he steals. Well, that's just exactly the image. That's what has been. We're not talking about what has been. We're talking about godly hope. When you going to agree with those verses? What has been is not what shall be. Why don't you start preaching to the devil? He's been preaching to you based on what has been. Start preaching to him about what shall be, devil. Let me preach to you about what shall be. I have some real hope. And then faith is the substance of things hoped for. And boy, once you cross that line on the inside and you're not just kind of playing this anymore, you cross the line. That image is in there. It's done in you first. I mean, that boy's off drugs in you before he's off drugs out there. That's when that verse, go ahead and turn to Romans 15. I think it's Romans 15, 13. And you can tell when you get there, based on this verse right here, you can tell when you crossed over. If you haven't got there, we'll keep on till you do cross over, that's all. This isn't rocket science. Romans 15, 13. Here's how you can tell when you've crossed over into godly hope, no matter what it is, whether it's for your kids, your finances, your healing, your ministry, whatever. Here's how you can tell. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope. The God of what? The God of hope. Fill you. You're going to be full of two things when you're full of real godly hope. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you've really crossed that line on the inside, you're full of two things. Joy. Peace. And you know that really happened even with my oldest daughter. It took a while for that substance of hope to be built up. Boy, one day, I knew. I had that image full stature on the inside of me. And I knew that I knew it was over. It hadn't manifested in the natural. I knew it was over. And from that day forward, I was full of joy and peace in believing. And that devil will bring those same old thoughts. You know, I'm probably, she's going to get drunk tonight. I'm going to kill her tonight. I'd go, I'd laugh. You're too late. You're not going to do anything to her. I'm full of joy and peace in believing, and the Holy Spirit Himself is empowering my hope. Glory to God. Whew. Now, is that good stuff or what? Hallelujah. Well, we could go home right there and head church, didn't we? Hallelujah. We hadn't even started. All right. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I was meditating on that along these lines of hope and praying. Now remember, what we're going to do here is merge born again and hope. What do these things have so much to do together? Why would the Lord have these two streams going in this conference? Well, because everything you've been hearing about the new birth, it's absolutely true and it's wonderful, isn't it? But if we don't ever know how to get that from the inside to the outside, we're not going to affect the world very much. Now, faith being that substance of things hoped for, knowing that faith is what causes things to be manifested in the exterior realm that we live in, then it's going to have something to do with hope, isn't it? Okay, I was praying over these things. You know, I come to all those 8:30 services. You don't have enough money to keep me from coming to Dave's 8:30 Sunday services. And, meditating and praying about all this, and I kept getting this phrase in my spirit. It just, when you pray, you know, it kept floating up. And it was just three words. I kept hearing, Christ, our hope. Christ, our hope. Well, I have one of those Bible programs on my computer, you know, so I did a word search through the New Testament, Christ our hope. That particular phrase didn't come up. Those three words aren't in the New Testament. So I thought, well, it must be the pizza I ate. I don't know. It can't be the Holy Ghost. I mean, He knows the Bible. And so I just prayed some more, and it just kept coming up. Christ our hope. Christ our hope. What is going on? So this time I ran that search again. And this time it came up. I just ran our hope. Found it. Go over to 1 Timothy now, chapter 1, and verse 1. Christ our hope. Okay. Sounds like the pages have pretty much quit turning. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. But I want you to notice in your King James Bible, those words, which is, are italicized. That means that the translators, once again, trying to help us, added those words at their discretion, but they're not in the original Greek. So the original Greek would read it this way. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ our hope. There it is. Christ our hope. Now wait a minute. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Christ our hope. Somebody's starting to see it. Christ our hope. Let's substitute something here. Let's just substitute something. Say this after me. Now faith is the substance of Christ in me. We've been wondering, you're born again? I'm asking you. Are you born again? Did Dave get you convinced? Does Christ live in there? Richard, is He in there? We got to get Him out here.
That's right.
Those neighbors, those blind, sick, going to hell neighbors. Uh-huh. See, Richard can't save them.
That's right.
Christ in Richard can.
That's right.
Now, if we can ever get Christ out of that Holy of Holies in there, well, He's out here on your fingertips. He liked that. So that when you touch their blind eyes, He touches their blind eyes. And they're not blind no more. And they're right heathen. But suddenly they can see. And you say, now that the Lord has healed you, you think you might want to serve Him?
Yeah.
He says, just a minute, let me bring my whole family. Me and my whole house is going to serve Him. That's the gospel. That's the way Jesus did it. Bring me your halt, your lame, your sick, your poor, your blind. Bring them. Bring them. He would teach, He would preach, and He would heal. And not one of those people were born again. Couldn't be until after the cross. I wonder how many of them were after the cross born again. Wonder about that man that says, you know, the one that Jesus opened his eyes and the Pharisees interrogated him, and it says, well, you know, that man's a sinner. He says, well, sinner or not, I don't know, but this one thing I know, once I was blind and now I see. And I guarantee you, when he found out the new birth was available after the cross, he's probably first in line. Get out of my way. Where is the altar? How do I do this? Don't you think he'd have been first in line? They'll be lining up at Richard's house if we can ever get Christ out of the Holy of Holies and onto Richard's fingertips. And everybody else. I pick on Richard because he won't hit me. That's what we're after. Now, but what makes substance out of hope? Y'all are afraid I'm tricking you, aren't you? Now faith is. Say it with me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Who is our hope?
Christ.
Christ our hope. Okay, now keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Go to Colossians 1:27. Bible drill day. Besides, help keep you awake. See, my fajitas. I'm trying. I'm interested, but my fajitas, you know. I know. Because this is the mystery of the gospel. The thing that's been lost since the book of Acts that we're trying to recapture in the end times. This is what we're trying to recapture right here. Paul said it is the mystery. There's lots of mysteries. They all comprise the mystery. And here it is. He defines for you the ultimate mystery of the gospel. Here it is right here. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ our hope. Christ is in me. Now faith is the fingertip substance of things hoped for. Of Christ in me. You got it? Christ, Ephesians 3, I think somewhere says, Christ dwells in your heart by faith. You're going to have to believe it before you see it. All right? That's really where we're headed. Now, you want me to prophesy the future of the last time, latter day, latter end time movement church? You want to hear the future? I'm not kidding. All right. Hallelujah. Let me read you a few things. Now, this, what I'm about to read you now, you are free to reject. This is not chapter and verse. Somebody took my tapes again. That's all right. They've seen it enough. Thank you anyway. What I'm about to read you now is what I received by doing what's on those two tapes of Dave's, Distinguishing God's Voice. Those of you that might not have been here at the earlier sessions, in a nutshell, it's this. You pray in the Spirit out loud for a little while till you get it rolling. Then you shut up. You get quiet. And you listen. You can hear those tongues rolling on the inside of you for a little while, maybe 15, 20 seconds. Now, what's happening? What are you hearing? Who's creating those tongues? That's the Holy Ghost. You're hearing the words from His mouth. Where are you hearing them? At the ear of your spirit, which is different from where you think with your mental mind. You've been trying to locate the voice of God for years. Is that God? Is that me? Is that the devil? If you could ever once and for all really locate the ear of your spirit, where you're listening to the Holy Spirit not just speak to you in tongues. Because see what Dave says on there? He says the same place in you where you hear Him speak to you in tongues. That's the same place in you where you hear Him speak to you in English or Spanish or whatever your native tongue is. That's where He communicates with you. You're a spirit. He's a spirit. He communicates with our spiritual ear. So I was practicing and I was practicing and I was practicing. He'd been showing me all these things about Christ our hope. Yeah. Again, this was September 15th, not that long ago. I'm going to read you some excerpts, what he told me. Now do you perceive my wisdom in providing you with the image of Him who is to fill your hope? How many of y'all know that the Bible says Christ is the express image of God? In fact, go over, just for a minute, I want you to refresh your memory with 2 Corinthians 3:18 for just a minute. Because that's really, this verse, see, I didn't know it at first, but what I'm teaching this year is really just a continuation of what He had me teach last year. Y'all remember the gospel mirror and religion's mirror and how I handed out those handouts? See, because all I really knew then was the confession part. That's the part He taught me then. I had to get my mouth in agreement. Yes, Jesus, as you are, so am I in this world. Remember all that? So that we emphasized the confession part last year, didn't we? Now He's talking with me about, see, because it's not just confession. It's hope and faith. With Abraham, He changed his image before He changed his name. He gave him hope before He had him speaking. You with me? You with me? So that's what He's doing now, see. But we're still, this is what we're after. 2 Corinthians 3:18 right here. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image. There it is again. What is hope? Hope is the image you hold in your soul. If you're sick on a deathbed and the doctors have told you you're going to die, they've painted an image of you in a coffin. And there's an image inside of you that if you don't get rid of it, you're going to die. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible, what He's telling us, no, He says, no. You've got to get a new image, just like He took Abraham out, see, and showed him the stars and changed the image on the inside of him. You've got to get an image of you being healthy again. It doesn't matter what you say. If your image is death, you're going to die. That's why all those people you know that were saying the right things died anyway. There was no real image of hope of them being healthy and healed on the inside of them. They're just doing the mechanics.
That's right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's got to be an image. This is the image God provided. Look at this image He wants to transform us into. Look at this. Look at what this verse really says. We all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, glass mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. From glory to glory, it is by stages, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That does it say diminished image? You're scared again, aren't you? Just tell me what it says. You'll be fine. Same image. With that in mind, now listen to what He said to me. Now do you perceive my wisdom in providing you with the image of Him who is to fill your hope? Allow no image provided by religion. Permit no image diminished by the reasonings of man. Receive the image I have provided, for it is into that likeness that my Spirit shall conform you. None diminished is the word I am imparting to your spirit this day, says the Lord. None diminished from the image I provided. This is the plan of the Father. As you behold the glory of Him whom I have sent, and as you behold that image I have provided to fill your hope, you are changed into that same image, that same hope, that same likeness by the seed of Him who was planted within you. Do y'all remember the other day when Pastor Dave said that about the scary thing about when we were spiritually dead? You ought to thank God that your mother beat a synthetic conscience into you until you got a real one. Because he said, really, if she hadn't have done that, you know, we look at Hitler, who is kind of the epitome, you know, that we would pick as the extreme. If you take that death nature pretty much to the max, and really, he's a choir boy compared to what the Antichrist will be. That's really taking it all the way. See? Well, let's just go with Hitler. And he says, the scary thing is, we all had that same capacity. Right. You better be real glad you had a mama or a daddy that beat a synthetic conscience in you until you got a real one. Yeah. But do you understand what God is? Well, see, you know that's true on that side, don't you? Yeah. On the death nature? Now, wait a minute. You've been born again. Wonder what, if we chose Hitler on that side, what image would we choose on the life side? How far, I wonder if God has given us any pattern, any image to look at. You're getting it, aren't you? Somebody over there, it's kind of like little pockets of, oh my God, yes. That's exactly what this verse says. We've all thought, oh, not me. I'm such a slimy dog worm, you know. No. He's the firstborn of many brethren. Those confessions I gave you last year, starting out of John 14, now see, now how did they start off? The works that I do shall you do also. And even greater works shall you do. Now, does that sound like a lot of us in the same image, doing the same things? All right, let's look at it from one other angle. Let's see now. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about just the new birth. Just the new birth. We're not even talking about baptizing the Holy Ghost yet, okay? Let's look at Christ Himself from the time He was born up until the time He was baptized. What do we have here? All right? For the first time in 4,000 years, we have a human spirit on the earth which has the life of God in it. Hasn't been one since Adam, where the life in that person came from God. We see one, don't we? Jesus of Nazareth, not baptized in the Holy Ghost. That life that was in Him during that 30 years, Dave will get into this maybe next conference, but here it is anyway. You might as well know it. That's the same life you're quickened with when you got born again. He says, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. Was He born of the Spirit? Yep. You must be born from above, the margin says. Were you born from above? Amen. Are you descended horizontally from Adam anymore? No. You're descended vertically, directly from Christ. Is not that right? Your home is heaven. Isn't that true? So what do we see Jesus from the time He's born up until His baptism? Well, we see a person with the life of God in their spirit, clothed in mortal flesh. Let's see now. Let's take Richard again. He's real nice. Richard, I know this, and he's so nice this would be hard for you to believe. But before he got saved, he had Hitler potential.
That's right.
Had death in his nature, see? Clothed in mortal flesh, but then one day he got born again. That old nature, God see in Ezekiel, God says, I'm going to take that stony heart out of Richard. And I'm going to put a new spirit in you, boy. And that new spirit is that life, that spirit life that comes from the loins of Jesus Christ Himself. Come into Him with all that life potential in Him. You see that? So now we've got a man with the life of God in him, clothed in mortal flesh. Well, now when we see Jesus, we don't see Him doing any miracles at all, do we, before He's baptized in the Holy Ghost. He never cast out one devil, never changed any water to wine, but you know what we do see? Living a sinless life. That's why Pastor Dave says it's not the Holy Ghost that set you free. It's your new nature that set you free from sin.
Amen.
Can you see it from Jesus, the pattern that's been given to us? You say, well, I hate to tell you this, Brother Gary. I sinned right before lunch. I got mad at my wife, or I was ugly with the clerk, or, you know. Well, we didn't say that you had let that seed come to harvest. You haven't let that life mature. That's what we're talking about. That's what this conference is about, is getting that from the Holy of Holies more manifested on our, till it comes clear out on our fingertips. That's what we want, isn't it? Okay? So it doesn't, but the potential is there. See, he also didn't go the Hitler route, thank God. He didn't get that bad. But he wants to get as bad as Jesus, in the good sense. He's bad. He wants to go there, don't you?
Yes.
So that's what we're talking about doing. But can you see how that fits the born-again thing? One thing you got to say about Jesus, without the baptism in the Holy Ghost now, that life from above alone, that nature that was in him, which is the same nature we got if we let it come full all the way forward, it sets you free from sin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got that? But now notice, how many of y'all have heard the series I did on the serving son? Say it the other way. How many have not heard it? Whoa. You ought to write in and ask for it. You really ought to. The thing that serving son vision did for me, and I don't even have time to get into much of it, but the one thing it established for me for all time. See, that new nature is to give you that Holy of Holies on the inside. Fellowship and communion between you and your God. And to give you that empowerment to walk free from sin personally. But see, even Jesus himself, he didn't dare go into battle to undo the devil's works or set other captives free. He didn't dare do that. He didn't even think about doing that without the baptism in the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
See, that new nature was never intended for that. And that's the one thing that serving son vision, boy, it established that in me forever. That new nature is to give you personal victory over sin, over temptation, and that alone is enough.
Yes.
Whom the Son sets free is free. Gary, are you telling me you walk sin free? No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you I can.
Amen.
The potential is there. I got to quit lying about it and making excuses. Let that seed grow up in me to where I'm walking there, because the pattern has been given.
Yes.
But that's not what. It's the power, it's the baptism in the Holy Ghost that anoints you with power to destroy the works of the devil. That's where the power and authority comes from, to cast out devils, open blind eyes, change material things, do all that supernatural. You don't see Jesus doing any of that before the baptism in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You better get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and not only that, learn how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. You really ought to get that set of tapes. But anyway, we've got to press on. We can't linger there. But now, pattern. We're talking about the pattern. All right, now what do we see after the baptism? We saw that one, right? Now, okay, let's look at Jesus between the baptism of the Holy Spirit, after he's baptized by John, up to, let's say, the Last Supper. Now what do we see? All right, we've got a human being. We've got a person with the life of God in him, still clothed in mortal flesh. Now, baptized in the Holy Ghost and anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Richard, can you speak with other tongues?
Yes.
You mean to tell me you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Anointed with the Holy Ghost and power?
Yes.
I have a pattern that it would be real good for you to fill your hope with. Because when that same image is in you, that's in him. Now your faith has something to give substance to. And the works that he did shall Richard do also.
Amen.
Yeah. Say it after me again. Now
faith
the substance
of
Christ in me.
Christ is my hope.
I fill my hope
with the image of Christ.
As he is,
so am I.
In this world. Now faith is
the
substance
of Christ in me.
Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Are you understanding what he's done for us? If we ever get a hold of this, it's Book of Acts time. All over again. All over again. That life potential that is able to house the very presence of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, that Holy Ghost that can't be tempted. He can't be fooled. He can't be bribed. He can't be tricked. And He has been sent to be your personal helper through this life.
Amen.
Glory to God. $10. You can buy Dave's set of tapes, Distinguishing God's Voice, where you learn to hear your helper in English. Now, if you ever get God the Holy Ghost come talk to you in English in a language you can understand, your days of failure are over. You're going to marry the right person. You're going to live in the right city. You're going to buy the right house. You're going to know your call, not be guessing anymore or have someone prophesy it to you. And you're going to be equipped for your call. If you're called to be a gospel entrepreneur, you're going to know exactly what the market's going to do every day. If He called you, He will equip you. And He knows the end from the beginning. Of course, there is some qualifications to that, like dying to money, a simple little thing, you know. Just dying to the love of money. That's simple, you know, yeah. Can you see what He's really done? And the religion, the more I find out about this, I'm not getting better, I'm getting worse. I'm hating religion even more. Because the more I see what God really provided for us, and I see how exactly opposite religion uses it. Rather than teach us that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, and as He is, so are we in this world, what'd they train you to do? Look at you, old ugly self. You ought to be thankful if God doesn't make you toast by 4 o'clock. You slimy dog worm, barely ought to make it into heaven. Repent. There's none righteous. No, not one. Boy, when I'd come out of those services, I sure didn't have no image in me of casting out no devils, healing no sick. I mean, if God just please let me into heaven, that's all I want. Just please let me into heaven. You know? Religion gets you to do exactly what James says not to do. If you remember from last year, what was religion's mirror? Looking at your natural face. Looking at your own self in a natural mirror. And as long as religion or the devil or your preacher keeps you looking at yourself, you will never change. Except maybe get worse. The power for change, that seed that is planted in you, is from Christ, and it's only designed to transform you into that image. And if you focus on any other image, you've cut off the power of that seed that was planted in you.
That's right.
You must expose the seed to the source from which it came. Expose it to the image of Christ and watch Christ grow up in you. Can you see, beginning to see connection between hope and the born again trail?
Yeah,
now see that life. Let me read you just a little more of this. Did y'all like this so far?
Yes.
You're free to reject this. I don't mind at all. Get wait until we get to heaven for Jesus to tell you you're wrong. It's okay. I counsel you this day to incorporate hope with all your speaking. The saying, apart from without the vision, the saying apart from the vision is as futile as the vision apart from the saying. Both are required, says the Lord. I counsel you to step higher than religion. I counsel you to step higher than the ways of man. I counsel you to step above the darkened reasonings of those who speak as leaders of my people. I count you to receive the simple truth that I have sent in Jesus Christ. He is the image provided for all men to be conformed to. Quite different from religion, isn't it? I intend for them to be conformed to that image, none diminished, none diminished, none diminished, says the Spirit of your Father. Now get this. How many of you have said in good church? I mean, I've preached them. I've said in them. How many of you have heard good messages on possessing the land? Aren't we supposed to possess the land? Have you heard good teaching and preaching on that? Me too. I've taught it and I've listened to it. It's good stuff, isn't it? And see, it's all true. It doesn't matter. If you're sick, you need to possess some healing, don't you? If you're poor, you need to possess some prosperity. If you're lost, you need to possess some salvation. Okay? I want you to... Are there seat belts on those chairs? Terry, check. You're going to need it, son.
Yeah, well,
you ready? Listen to what he told me. Listen to this. Now remember what we've been talking about. Christ, he's our hope. He's the image that my faith is bringing substance to in this realm. See, I want Christ on my fingertips. I want the anointed one right there on the ends of my fingers. I want him to fill me from my holy of holies through my soul. Jesus said your whole body should be full of light. God is light. To the point that when I touch the sick, it's Christ himself on my fingertips.
Amen.
Touching the sick. I know I can heal. I know he can. If I can ever learn to get him out of that holy of holies, and it's not like he's hiding in there. I'm just the one that's got to help him. You know, it's up to us. It's by our faith that we bring him forth. But I want Christ on my fingertips. When I touch him, I want him to be touching him. Amen?
That's right.
Now watch this. Listen to this. His life, talking about Christ. His life. The life of Christ in fullness. In fullness. Is the land of promise. Which I have given unto my children. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, to appropriate that life in its fullness as your own, I will surely give it unto you. His life in its fullness is your inheritance. Receive the abundance of this grace. Now just, I got to have some word on that, Brother Gary. So did I. Go to Romans 5:17. I'm going, what? I never heard this. See, we all have that Christ-like. I mean, we all have that life like a seed on the inside. You know what really Mark 4 is about? I mean, it's okay, everything that's been preached on it. But he said, let me tell you what the kingdom of God is really like. To me, he didn't really get to it till he got to the end of it, that third one. He said, it's like a grain of mustard seed. See, the sower sows the Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. Christ is the Logos. And when you got born again, God the Father sowed the Logos, Christ, in you, in a seed form. He said, it's like mustard seed. When it's sown, it's less than all the other herbs and all the other trees that be in the garden. But when it grows up, it becomes the greatest tree. And even the fowls of the air can come and take lodging in it, see. And what he's saying is, look, when you got born again, that seed of life came into you. That potential is there. Just like added that potential on the death side was Hitler, the potential on the life side is Christ. In fullness. That's what he's talking about. But it's really up to us whether that remains a little seed. Are we going to feed it? Are we going to water it? We're going to allow that to grow to where we're from glory to glory to glory, changed into that same image. You see what's going on here? Romans 5:17 says this. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, now that's the Hitler side, much more they which receive abundance of grace, not a little seed, abundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness, you can't earn it, shall reign, that's R-E-I-G-N, rule and reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I was asking God one day, I'm pretty slow. I'm not quick. Once I get something, I got it. But I was going, I don't really understand this. Abundance of grace. What are you talking about? He says, let me give you my definition of grace. You think I got out my notepad and pen? I'm ready. Here's my definition of grace. I give the life of my Son to dead sinners. Glory to God. That's grace, isn't it? See, mercy is when He just, you know, that's like the Old Testament. I forgive you. But I kind of gave you all some hints and previews when I said Him having prepared some better thing for us. So, I mean, I was reading through the Hall of Faith one day there, by faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Moses, you know, by faith Abraham. And boy, you know how we get going through there, you know, stop the mouths of lions and, oh man. And then the Holy Ghost said, and not one of them was born again. Shook me to my shoes on it. Well, why are you listing all that then? You know, I mean, that's a whole different, they were in the covenant to produce sons. We're in the fulfillment of that covenant. We are sons. And I got to reading that again, you know, I'm going, well, what's the deal? And he says, God having provided some better thing for us. And that us stood out to me. He says, for born again people. Those that's been born of God's own Spirit. Well, wonder what that better thing is. Now consider Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because the one thing Abram could not, but he could have believed for it forever, but he could never have had it. And that was the life of Christ in him. Now, he operated on accounted righteousness. He whipped the devil on credit, just like Dave said. We're not whipping the devil on credit. We've got the real thing. We are sons of the Most High God. And the Holy Spirit is free to anoint that life, that spirit life, that life of Christ on the inside of you, that Holy Ghost is free to anoint that life with the very same dominion that we see the pattern having in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just like Jesus said, He says, I fully intend for the works that I did, Kathy, for you to do them also. Heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. You all want to know what the greater works is? It means both ways. He really did mean more works. He was only one human vessel. There's only 24 hours in a day. Only so many people could come at a time. If we just had His life in fullness manifested in the people in this room today, how much more would the works be increased? So He is talking about that. But He is talking about something else. Because think about this. In all of His earthly ministry, Jesus of Nazareth, in His time in the flesh before the cross, the one thing He never got to do, He never got to quicken a human spirit.
That's right.
He never got to bring someone from death to life in their spirit. Now, He raised Lazarus from the dead, but Lazarus was still dead in his spirit when he got raised too. He was raised in body. That's a resurrection. That's not a quickening. See, when you lead somebody to the Lord and they become born again in their spirit, they go from death to life. Jesus, in His ministry, never got to do that even once. Never once. Until after He was glorified. Got that? Now, the pattern that we see Him now, see, you can't believe. That's what Dave was saying. Get over here. Abraham was on this side of the cross. So he operated in accounted righteousness. We're over on this side of the cross. We're operating in the real thing. However, we are still on this side of the resurrection of the glorified body, the sound of the trump. So we're operating now on accounted glorification, if you will. And God has already declared our bodies dead. So That word alone is, and the new nature in us is enough to walk free of sin. Okay? But the day's going to come, it's not going to be accounted anymore. We're going to be walking in the real thing. And that's when you have the full manifestation of the sons of God, spirit, soul, and body. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see that? It's good stuff, isn't it? Yes. Hallelujah. Let me go on a little further here. His life, the life of Christ in fullness, is the land of promise, which I have given unto my children. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread to appropriate that life, in its fullness as your own, I will surely give it unto you. His life, in its fullness, is your inheritance. Receive the abundance of this grace, this life that He gives to dead sinners. I don't want a seed full. I don't want a cap full. I don't want a cup full. I want oceans of it. I want abundance of this grace. I want abundance. I want Christ on my fingertips, I'm telling you. Spirit, soul, body, where it's get to the place you'd be like Peter if they just lay them in your shadow. Just get them that close to you. And you walk by. That life of Christ in you is so anointed by the Holy Ghost that as you walk by, they get healed. We're talking Book of Acts stuff here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Christ, our hope. He is the image. You quit looking at your old ugly self. You keep looking at your ugly self and talking about your ugly self, you're going to stay your ugly self. You need to start looking on Him who is to whom He... God says, you fill your hope with the image of Him that I sent. That's the life I've put in you. Fill your hope with Him. Say, as He is, so am I in this world. Because that's what the Word says, whether you look like it, feel like it, act like it, or not. It's the truth anyhow. He's in there. Glory to God. Let's go. You like this? Is this okay? Hallelujah. All that I have given Him, the Holy Spirit shall show unto you as being your inheritance to possess. He will lead you step by step. He will go before you and drive your enemies out from before your face. And what He's talking about there by enemies is all your unbelief and doubt. As you spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, that's what He does. He's doing two things at once. He's unveiling before your spiritual eyes Christ in you, where you can see Him. And at the same time, He's tearing down every stronghold of I'm not worthy, every high thing that says, oh, I'm just a slime, He's tearing that down and He's revealing Christ all at the same time. So you can have a clear, pure, unfettered image and view of Him who lives in you. And as Christ fills your hope, faith becomes the substance of Christ on your fingertips. Anointing I'm talking about. Glory to God. Merge, you see Him? New birth. Hope. Glory to God. For this purpose I sent Him, who is the express image of Myself, that you may see the land before you and possess it as your own. For it is yours as a gift. It is yours by inheritance. It is yours to possess by My Spirit, says the Lord. For I have already given you this land. He's talking about the life of Christ. The work has already been accomplished in Him. The only thing remaining is for you to possess it by faith. But as I am teaching you this day, now get this part if you don't get anything else, because you've heard a lot of teaching on faith. You haven't heard much on hope. I am teaching you this day, first, you must fill your hope with the image of Him whom I have provided. Fill your hope with that image. Think it not impossible. Think no longer these things are impossible. Think no longer this is not My plan, for it is My plan. It is My plan to repopulate the earth with sons who walk as Him, talk as Him, act as Him, and have the same results He had. This is My will, says the Spirit of your Father. Now what did Jesus say? The works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto My Father. The trouble is, we read it, we wouldn't want to call Jesus a liar, but after a while you just kind of give up on those verses. You just kind of, well, I don't want to call you a liar, Jesus, but nobody's done it in 2,000 years, Jesus. Oh, here and there we've had a few, maybe you could count on one hand, that maybe walked in the gifts. We've had a few get a little closer, like Smith Wigglesworth. There's been a few, very few. But what hope is there for me, Jesus? Well, we've not known these things, have we? I'll go ahead and tell you this. The big question for me has always been, and I've heard others say, how come since the book of Acts? How many of y'all had that question? Dear God, for 2,000 years, there's hardly anybody walked in anything like this. And I was praying about that. And the Holy Ghost said, Jesus Christ doesn't think of wars, famine, pestilence, rape, murders, thefts, all those things. He doesn't consider those to be triumphs of the enemy. They're all fruit of the enemy's only valid triumph. I said, what in the world would that be? You ready? You want to know? Jesus Christ considers the enemy's only valid triumph separating the body from communion with the Holy Spirit. All those years when tongues were lost, all those years when these things were lost, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Because it's all, see, Jesus said, you can't come to the Father but by me. If you want to know the Father, you have to see Jesus, don't you? So we want to know more about Jesus. We study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, the more you study that, the more you're going to know about the Father. Because the more you see Jesus, the more you're going to see the Father. But see, the Holy Spirit, He's the one that's been sent to reveal Christ in us. And the devil found that out. And he says, book of Acts, he's going, I have them sawed in sunder. I have them killed. I have them slain. And all that does is make them stronger. What can I do? These people have the same life in them that the original had. They've got the same Holy Ghost on them that the original had. What can I do? If I can separate them from that helper they've got. If I can cut the line of communication between them and that anointing, that helper himself, then, now they themselves might be able to walk free of sin. They still have that new birth. But they won't be any threat to my power. They won't be able to undo any of my works. That's why there has been such an assault to bring intellectualism into the church and separate the body from tongues and everything, all the gifts and everything to do with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus calls that the devil's only valid triumph. And everything else, all the rest of this stuff, is fruit from that. But I want you to know something. The same Holy Ghost that brought in the power in the book of Acts, this is that. He is here. He is our teacher. I thank God that He sent a man from Oregon to Tulsa. It took me 6 years to make the connection. I always heard Dave say these, but I didn't make the connection. He says, God came and told him, he says, go to Tulsa. Go into me far enough to bring out the miraculous, to produce a supernatural revival that man can't build. And I knew that part for 6 years. But it was almost 6 years before it dawned on me. Now, wait a minute. Nobody's done this. In 2,000 years, practically. Not like the kind of revival we're believing for. What was the message that God sent the man with? What's Dave's message? Praying. Communion, praying in tongues. Communion and fellowship with the Holy Ghost. The very thing that the devil severed to stop the book of Acts 2,000 years ago. No wonder. Then I understood the man and the message. If I can ever get him praying and communion in with that Holy Ghost again, he's the one that unveils Christ in them. He's the one that destroys and mortifies all that stuff of the flesh that's preventing Christ from getting out of the Holy of Holies, out onto their fingertips. If I can ever really keep any group of people for any length of time in fellowship with the Helper, the devil's going to be in trouble again.
I've been born again.
Hallelujah. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. How many of y'all think you might spend just a little more time praying in the Holy Ghost? Now, while you're praying in the Holy Ghost, in the face of religion, in the face, just spit on your emotions. So, I have no fellowship with thee, thou emotions. Be gone from me. Stand in front of the mirror. I don't care what you see. You say, as he is, so am I in this world. And more than that, go like we did last year now. But see, now feel your hope. I want you to understand. Start seeing. Now see, well, no, I'm just trying to see how to do it. I never said it yet. See, I had a real problem at first trying to... Christ in me. And Dave helped me so much when he finally said, look, when you get... It's Christ. That Spirit that's in you, it's not His Spirit. He's got His own Spirit. It's just like when I was born the first time, I didn't have Adam's human spirit. He had his own human spirit. I've got my human spirit. But I have the nature of Adam in it, right? Well, see, because all these Christ in me verses, I'm going, well, is that literally... I thought for a long time it was literally his spirit in me. No, it's a new birth. In the same way that I didn't have Adam's spirit, I've got my own spirit. And I had Adam's death nature in that spirit. What's happened to us now, you've got your own spirit, born again spirit. But it's got that nature, that life of Christ in it. And it's got the same potential on the good side as Hitler did on the negative side before. And what he's been saying, he says, without me you can do nothing. You got that right. Without that life that he put on the inside of you, there's nothing for the Holy Spirit to anoint. He doesn't anoint death. He doesn't anoint Adam's dead spirit. He anoints yours. But you know what else? He only operates in line with the mind of Christ. So it's not just a matter of life in our spirit. Remember I said yesterday, we talk about the heart of man. We normally make that synonymous with the spirit. It's not the same. If it was the same, they'd use the same word all the time. No, the heart is the part inside that we can't see. I can see Terry on the outside. He's got a body. That's the outer man. Isn't that right? The heart is talking about the inner man, the part that I can't see. Well, there's two parts in there. There's spirit and there's soul. His spirit is the part that's been born again. His soul has got to be renewed to walk in fellowship with that spirit. A house divided can't stand. So Jesus has been giving the church for 2,000 years life in their spirit and soul, and the devil's been giving them death in their soul through false religion. So it doesn't matter. You've got life in your spirit, all right. You've got death in your soul. You're a house divided. You can't stand against the wiles of the devil.
No more.
That's the way it's been, isn't it? And that's where you're going, well, how can such horrible, bad things happen to such good Christian people? House divided cannot stand. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is in the spirit of man. Hope is in the soul of man. And if they aren't operating, you've got to have both parts working or there's no results. You got that? So they tell you, yeah, you've been born again, but you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Those two won't work. They won't work together. Now, make up your mind. Are you an old sinner? No, you were an old sinner. That's why by His grace He gave you the life of His Son. You've been born again. I was an old sinner. I got saved by grace. Now I am the righteousness of God in Him. Now my new life may not be worked all the way to the edge of my fingertips. You may see some flaws in me, but come back next week, honey. We ain't done yet. This process is still going on. From glory to glory, it says. From glory to glory, it says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You seeing this? Hallelujah. Oh, Mockley's in trouble, isn't he? Glory to God. In a good way. In a good way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 4 more minutes here. Y'all are doing real good. Let her go. Hallelujah. You go, girl. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now get this. Get this. He is so practical. You cannot possess a land that you cannot see. Neither can you possess a land that you see afar off if you deem it not part of your inheritance. See, that's the way we've been. Oh, yes, Christ. Oh, look at Him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's wonderful. He cast out devils. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. Oh, yes. And we admire it like something afar off. We admire it. And it's wonderful. Never thinking. Never really thinking. That same life we see there is the pattern God intends for us to walk in ourselves. We've not considered that to be our inheritance. That Jesus wasn't kidding when He said, those that believe, the works that I do, shall you do also. We've not really considered that life that we see there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, our inheritance. We almost thought it was something so holy that you shouldn't approach it. And while all the time He's saying, this is the land I've spread before you. This is the life I'm giving to dead sinners. Come, receive, possess the abundance of this grace. And then you'll reign in life by Christ Jesus, that same life that's in you. Can you see that? God. 2 minutes. Let me read that. That's just so good. Let me read that again. You cannot... I'm not this smart. Y'all do know I'm not this smart. This $10. This comes from doing what's on that set of tapes. Yes. Practice and practice and practice. How long? Till it's working. Well, whatever city you're from, the devil's in trouble there if you ever get a hold of this. You ever get a hold of this, the devil's in trouble in your city. How'd you like to be a threat to him for a change? Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You cannot possess a land that you cannot see, neither can you possess a land that you see far off, if you deem it not part of your inheritance. Understand this day and never forget, says the Lord. His life is your inheritance. I desire that you possess that life to the full. Few have understood His purpose in reseeding the earth with life. Oh, get this. Why would you fill your hope with images provided by man when I have provided for you the image of life itself? He who is life has come in the flesh that you may behold that life, that you might receive that life into yourself and appropriate it as a land to be possessed, for I have surely given it unto you, says the Father. A graven image is that which has the mark of man upon it. I have provided the image which has the mark of God upon it. Fill your mouth with my word that says His life is yours, and you shall surely possess the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of His life. For I have given you to have life in yourself, as I gave to Him to have life in Him, in Himself. My children have become so accustomed to affliction, to mourning, and to hopelessness, that on those occasions when they have received the smallest measures of joy and peace from my Spirit, they've tended to camp there and set up monument stones by writing books giving testimony, as though they had received the fullness of my measure of grace to them. How sad. How sad. How my heart grieves over the smallness of the heart of the Father in their sight. I intend for my children to possess continents of joy and oceans of peace. Did not my Son say that His joy was to be in you?
Did not my son say that his peace was to be your peace? The land of your inheritance is vast, enormous, beyond the capacity of the carnal mind to comprehend. But I have set this life to be inherited before you in the image of my Son, that you may behold his glory, and with possessive hope and words of faith, possess the land as my spirit drives out every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Praise him for that. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Oh, we give you glory and honor and praises. Now, do you know something to do now? When you leave here, see, an engineer, I want you to know something to do. See, I want you to dust off those confessions we gave you last year. If you weren't here last year and don't have a copy of them, you can either make your own. I just went through John 14, 15, 16, and 17 and verse by verse made a positive confession out of it like Jesus wasn't lying. Okay? I put them all in the present tense like, Jesus, the works you did, I do also. Amen. All the way through there. You can do it yourself. You can write here at the prayer center and ask for a copy. We'll send you a copy if you want one. And then the other thing was the mirror confessions. But that's things like, Jesus, and it's going to be hard on your religion.
Yeah,
stuff like, Jesus, as you are, so am I in this world. But now watch. You see him, right?
Yeah.
Is he holy?
Yeah.
As he is, so are you.
Yeah.
So you say, Jesus, you are holy.
I am holy.
Terry went. Hey. I started to do this earlier. Yekiro, word of God. You know, anyway. The commercial. You are holy. But you start saying things like, yeah, you're holy. You're holy. No. This time, not just the confessions, but start to understand, see that life in you. You have been born again. And God intent, that seed, that life that's in there, has the potential to go all the way to the pattern we're given. Now, you're never going to be God. Don't anybody leave here thinking I said that. No. Christ is deity. I don't care how many books you read. You're not. He's God. We ain't. But he is the pattern that was sent. This is God's plan for man. The one you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The life of God in mortal flesh. Baptized with the Holy Ghost in power. That's your pattern to shoot for. Paul says, I'm still pressing towards the mic. The mic. Pressing towards the mark. The mark. The high call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the pattern he's talking about. That's the mark. That's the pattern. He says, brethren, I don't say I've apprehended. But forgetting those things that are past, what has been is not what shall be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.